Off the Ball.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Good evening and welcome to Wednesday night's Off the Ball with me, Kevin, this evening. We're here with Air, the home of Air Sport. Get amazing live free content with Air Broadband. So, we're here. It's National Fish and Chips Day today. I'm in studio tonight with Kenny and Richie. Do you know that, Ken? It's National Fish and Chips Day today.
There's an actual day for it, Ken.
No way.
Yeah, there is.
And happy for our time.
We're celebrating tonight, baby.
It's just inaugural.
We are celebrating inaugural tonight with Leo Burdock tonight, Ken. Yeah, so...
It's been going on a few years.
I was told it was during the recession. It come about during the recession. Tried to, you know...
Which one? Which recession,
well,
Kev?
Well, I know.
We've had several.
That wasn't actually clarified to me, that one. But it was... I was told it was during the recession, yeah. So, anyway, it could have been the most recent one anyway. So we've got a National Fish and Chips Day.
I, for one, welcome it.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about tonight, though. I mean, if we're going to pick a night, it's probably best that does happen with Kenny in studio. But then again, with Kenny in studio, with everybody else away, I fear we might be in trouble.
It is the perfect night, isn't it? We always
traditionally fish and chips are into the week. It's Friday night, really, fish and chips, isn't it?
Were you the end of the working week?
Your dad coming home from work, or you coming back from the docks on the bike, parks it up outside the fish and chips shop, just loads up, bang.
I feel like we should have loaded the Hovis music for that. So you're recounting.
Or I do remember. I can't remember being in the house Saturday night, my man and dad down the boozer, coming back, not trying, fighting to stay awake. 11 o'clock, half 11, think if I could stay awake, there'll be a bag of chips in this. My dad comes in, smoke cotton a few bags of chips. You knew that was getting divvied up. You could just fight the sleeve. You could fight it and stay awake.
I'm starving now. I'm actually starving.
We'll see
what we can do for Kenny when we come off before we go down to Brough for the lads down there for the
show this
evening.
You know that.
But it is, you know, I would say as well.
No, you're not. You're the most demanding guest we have in here.
Yeah, you are.
You have coming here. It's like,
do demands.
Where's me
you put demands on the boys. There's always, when Kenny comes in the studio,
there's
chaos outside in the office. Honestly, Ken, there's chaos because we have to keep you happy, and it's always I always tell the lads, you know, he's not high maintenance at all. But there is a bit of that, Ken, when you're coming in studio.
A coffee slice, a little coffee slice here and there, a little thunders.
You have to get it in there.
You love that. Not much, is it?
They have a nice their own little tea cakes they have in Thunders now. The one in Northside, it's like a...
Tea cakes?
No, tea cakes.
We're getting involved in that
now. You know the Tunnocks tea cakes? Do you know the one where it's like a little biscuity thing, then the mallow stuff, and then the chocolate over the top?
Yeah. That brings me back to the old Kimberley Mikado and coconut. It's a coconut cream, so with a little bit of... Oh, the Kimberleys, were they the brown biscuit with the...
Kimberleys with the biscuit.
It's not the food now.
Kimberleys are the ones.
Always Mikado, man, personally. Just the pink coke and a bit of jam down the middle.
Phil Egan out in the office was telling us as well that Brian Kerr is a Mikado, man.
Oh, no.
Phil, for some reason, was summoned for high tea around in Brian Kerr's gaff. And when he brought out the biscuits, what did he bring out? Plate Mikados.
Yeah. Kimberleys and Mikados. That could split the nation. What would you lean towards? Kimberley and Mikado?
Kimberleys for
Mikado.
Me, all day long.
A bit of jam in the middle.
You reckon the majority of the population would...
Ken.
Twitter poll this evening.
I'd lean towards
Mikado. We are after tonight. We're after World Cup memories because World Cup fever has definitely come upon me. Richie, in the last... 10 days or so. He's just been giving me a little montage. He's going, Kev, have a little listen to this one. So we do want our listeners' first earliest World Cup memory. Mine was actually this.
Off the Ball.
We're going now to the Azteca Stadium, and we can now join Barry Davis.
The taste of French wine.
Loudrup seems to ghost past the defenders as though they don't exist. This is going to be one of the goals of the tournament. Magnificent. The boys are genius.
Ball in the area. Lineker!
Different class.
Different class! Bruschaga is through for Argentina. Can he do it?
It's made of 18 karat gold, and the man who receives it is Diego Maradona of Argentina. The world's greatest player receives the world's most important football prize.
It's been our pleasure to bring this World Cup to you. Thank you for sharing it with us. We've loved it all, and we hope you have too. Cheerio.
Ah, great memories. You can actually text us your memories on 53106. You can tweet us at After Ball, message us on Facebook. But lads, that one, do you know what my earliest memory is 86, simply for a number of reasons. I mean, I've wrote down today a few of the things that I remember from it. Negretti's like little bicycle kick.
Underrated, by the way.
Brilliant.
That never gets put out there as one of the greatest World Cup goals because it happened in the first round and it was Mexico, nobody cares.
Class. Correca, you know, all these goals. But do you know why I remember it so clearly, right? My dad came home from the pub, as you talked about your mum and dad coming home from the pub.
Fish and chips?
About 2 weeks before the World
Starting
Cup.
To worry
2 weeks,
about your
actually before
habits.
The FA Cup final in 86 with a VHS recorder. And it was the first one we had in the house, and I recorded all the games from the World Cup. I must have watched the World Cup final from 86 about 100 times. So my dad's come back from the pub with this. Obviously. Well, wherever he's got it from, Rich, I don't know. I don't know where he's got it from.
Kev, stop implicating your father in illegal activity.
But that's passed away now, so he's got nothing to be accountable
even,
for.
Even still, you don't want to study the man's name.
Yeah, but anyway. Well, no, he's got state facts, haven't you, really?
He picked up a Grundig, like, you know, VHS player out the back of a lorry.
Well, I don't know. No, he didn't. No, he bought it. I think he bought it down the store, you know.
Well, he bought it down the store.
His mate passed it on to him anyway.
Just happened to bring it home from the pub with him when
but
he was
down the store. It is Mexico 86. Laudrup, you remember there as well.
That's Denmark team.
Yeah. What about you, Ken? What's your first World Cup?
No, well, the first one went straight over my head, to be honest, was that overhead kick. I've no memory of that whatsoever.
Hey, come here.
It's like a bicycle kick. Like, it's not necessarily, but it was a class goal.
Great goal.
This isn't going to work on radio, but you tell Gwen, I'm going to bring it up
for
you.
The Denmark team, I remember that. That was an Elkjær, the bull. Yeah.
Sorin Lerby.
Yeah. Olsen, the centre-half, went on to managed the national team. That was a brilliant team. Even the jersey.
Did Jesper Olsen play in that? I think Jesper Olsen was in that squad as well.
He was younger than that one as well, was he?
I think so, yeah.
And did they beat Spain? They gave Spain a hiding, I think. It was a 5-1, one of the standout games. Was it Uruguay?
Had a man sent off. This is the Negretti thing. It's flicked up for him and he bicycle kicks it into the corner.
The Negretti goal. But do you remember Josimar as well? Josimar, remember the goal against Northern Ireland? From the angle. I think looking to it might be Poland. I think it was Poland or something like that. On the angle, and he's just smashed it in the top corner over the kid. These are like unbelievable memories. Like, it was just pure class, honestly.
And that stadium, the Azteca Stadium, was it?
Yeah.
It's something visually about that. The angle of the camera looking down.
And that little shadow, that little thing that was cut into the grass. What was that?
It wasn't cut into the grass. It was a thing hanging over the centre spot.
Oh, right.
Apparently, I don't know if it was to keep the sun off the centre spot or something. That was the rumour I'd heard when I was a kid, that was to keep the sun off the centre spot, but it was just some decoration they had up there.
Yeah, but in those days, you didn't necessarily get the helicopter flying around the ground, did you? So you wouldn't necessarily get
there's no such thing as a spider cam in those days, I tell you.
But it was, I mean, that one
would have been HD, it would have been a little bit hazy, look, but it all added to it, like the mystery, like very exotic, like, you know, I mean, that stadium in particular, I thought was...
World Cups haven't been the same since commentators didn't sound like they were down the phone line if they're really far away.
A few have been in touch though as well. Graham Welton, he said, 1982 was my first memory. I remember running home from school to see England v France, Brian Robson goal in the first minute. Do you remember that one?
Great show.
Brazil v Italy and France v West Germany, two of the all-time great games ever.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Yeah, I'd remember. I've got a few years in Kevin, so I wouldn't have as many memories of the 82, but I do remember a few. That one was a great show, because even that Robson, like, was a long throw and it got flicked on, and a typical Robson run, that toward man run, arriving late into the box, throwing himself at it. Yeah, I do remember that. And obviously you've got the Northern Ireland story then from 82 as well. And then, of course, the classic celebration in the final, Italian. Who's scored it?
Tardelli,
of course.
Antonio Collins tweeted as well. He said, I remember my dad and my brother having a row over whether Ray Wilkins, of course, who just passed away, deserved his red card or not in Mexico 86. Remember that one when he threw the ball at the referee? Remember that one?
Oh, vaguely.
Really, I can't remember who they were playing against, but I do remember.
It's Poland, because that's when Lineker came to life, didn't he?
I think it was Morocco, actually.
Yeah, because he didn't necessarily win the game.
Good shout, Rich.
It does show the age demographic on all our listeners, doesn't it? We're seeing like where they all are. They've got one here as well. USA 94, watched the opening game in a bar in Portugal with my dad. Germany beating Bolivia 1-0. Klinsmann got the winner. You see, like, it's amazing
That's the jump now, isn't it? I think 80 for our generation, 82, 86, you could stretch that to 90. And then obviously it's a big jump then at 94. Yeah. Like, I've got nothing in common with those kids.
There's people out there in the office, right? Because obviously the 16th anniversary of Saipan and all that thing is today. There are people, I know, Kenny, it's an emotional moment for us all. There are people out there in the office who were in primary school.
Oh, wow.
So
I know.
That's phenomenal.
That's disgusting, isn't it?
It is. It is unbelievable. I do want to see this one as well, though, lads. I was born in 1969 and I can still hum the music from the 1978 World Cup. That was class. That's from Alan in Dublin. I don't remember 78. I don't remember 82, me. I'm just, it's just.
I would love him to have remembered, been old enough to have experienced that 78, because I'm talking visually what that looked like, 86, not the Azteca. Those pictures that you get from 78, all the confetti getting thrown on the pitch, that Argentinian team, the kits, I don't know what it was about it. I mean, it was absolutely, the competition itself was like, it was crooked. I mean, I don't know how much you've read about it.
I was bent to the tree, Bob. No, oh, that game against Peru that Argentina had, they had to win by six. It was,
I mean, it's outrageous. Like, you've actually, but in visually, like, again, the little clips that I've seen, it's little, wow, it's absolutely amazing.
Mario Kempes, that's what I mean. When you're looking back, or you're
Ardiles,
watching
that would have been
Ardiles probably in that as well. It's just the ones that you're actually watching back on YouTube, I suppose, and you see them, isn't it? So
I was doing my junior cert during the 98 World Cup, and that was with the video in the house. Yeah, I did all right in the junior. It was the leaving cert, it was a bit dodgy, hence me ending
pressure.
Here.
Pressure got to you, Richard.
Side Kenny now.
Yeah. Couldn't deal with it.
I thought you'd be beside Kenny Cunningham there, did you?
No, look at me now, Ma.
You can still happen. You can still reach the top, Rich. It's still possible.
It's not. I'm
such humble beginnings.
I'm done. This is me. But I was like, all right, I'm going to miss loads of it because obviously I'm studying for my exams. Attempted to record full matches. So like somewhere at home, my parents, there's like Cameroon and Italy from France 98 that's recorded on a VHS in full, probably with George Hamilton's commentary. I was suddenly, in my head, I was intending to watch the whole Shagging Things back once I was finished my exams. Did I bald?
Oh, no.
Once you see an Austria draw, it's got, you're just like, ah, oh, no, it's great. You know what, I'll skip over Scotland.
We have had a few on about Italian 90 as well, of course. Remember, that's got to be in so many of our memories, isn't it? Certainly.
But wasn't that a bit rotten in terms of some of the quality? Quite cynical. Was Maradona came back for that, wasn't he? He played, and that was that when he got done for drugs. He was
94. Oh, it was 94.
That was 94.
Yeah, but they got to the final.
Italy. Oh, that would have been the Italy were 90.
I take that back.
Italy was all right.
Aside from Ireland's involvement in 1990, that World Cup is actually pretty crap.
What do you think? I don't know, because I remember that were probably because it was Ireland that was there. We were all getting the buzz from that. But I remember Baggio in that World Cup as well. And I was 13, I think, then. So I'm looking at Baggio. I'm looking at who else would have been that
Scalacci,
one as well?
Scalacci, obviously.
Yeah, Scalacci, of course, as well.
Maradona did have a decent World Cup.
He did have a decent.
Lothar Matthäus.
Oh, yeah. Andy Bremer. That was like absolute machine, that. That German team, Rudi Völler would have been still around then, wouldn't he? Yeah. Apart from the Irish connection there, no, I think that 1990, I would have been a little bit underwhelmed by that. Generally speaking, remember being very cynical.
Knew you would have been hard.
Remember
to
the Mad Maradona's mad eyes. That's 90, isn't it?
No, it's 94.
No, 94.
That's 94.
Oh yeah, it's USA. Greece, scored a great goal. I can't remember
who he's against. Greece. 4 years.
Greece was it? Good
in Boston.
Good shout.
What
have you got for Sam Rich?
Newsround wise, plenty going on. Ty Burns received his first Ireland call-up for the summer tour of Australia. The Scarlets lock will be joining Munster in the close season. Leinster at half, Ross Byrne, the other uncapped player named in Joe Schmidt's 32-man travelling party. Bundy Aki included, despite being forced to withdraw from the Barbarians test with England this week due to an ankle injury. Ireland play the first of three tests against the Wallabies in Brisbane on June the 9th. The big football news today being Unai Emery presented to the media as the new Arsenal head coach. The club's chief executive, Ivan Gazidis, says the Spaniard was the unanimous decision of the board, having worked their way through an 8-person long list. His most recent job, Emery's, was at Paris Saint-Germain, where he led them in the season just past to a domestic treble. He also won 3 Europa Leagues during his time in charge of Sevilla, and Gazidis was asked why they picked Emery.
I followed Unai's career very closely since his days at Valencia, and he's always been on my radar screen. Has a fantastic record of success wherever he's gone. And interestingly, one of the noteworthy things about Unai's team is that they improve over time. I felt for some time that he's a superb fit with the criteria that I laid out.
For his part, Emery was asked what kind of football the Arsenal fans can expect from him.
To be protagonist all the match. We play against all the team with this personality, with, I think, the history here is one thing. They love play with a possession the ball. I like this personality. I like this protagonism with a ball. And when you don't this possession the ball, I want a squad very, very intensive for the pressing.
I'm not going to lie. That clip is about a minute long until I took out the pauses.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think English is not great. What do you think of that one, Ken? What do you think of the appointment in general? We'll have a chat probably in the football show around this, which, Kenny, you'll be back with me with the football show.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised when it looked as if it was going to go to Arteta. I always felt they'd go for like a more experienced, someone a little bit more proven. I was probably leaning more towards your Ancelotti, Allegri, even Rafa Benitez, that type of figure, probably somebody probably more successful than this lad. He says like he's won everywhere he's been. But if you look a little bit deeper at that, yeah, he's won at Sevilla, but it was the Europa League, albeit 3 years in succession. What he achieved at
PSG. Is that success in lower leagues football as well, though, in Spain as well? Ken,
yeah, exactly. With so I'm not one of these, and he hasn't won the major competitions. He's not a good manager. He can't coach. You have to get away from that. If he, Gazeta spoke about whenever he goes in, he improves teams, he improves players. Yeah, if that's the case, that's good, because Arsenal certainly need that. He talks about being a possession-based team. I'm never quite sure exactly what that means in terms of possession. Where do you want your possession? In your half of the pitch, the middle third, you want to have possession in the opposition's last third of the pitch. How quickly do you want to get there? He talks about playing with intensity, playing with personality. Exactly sure what these things mean, in all honesty. They're kind of buzzwords and nice words to throw in, but
he's talking about a pressing game there, so it seems the style that's at Liverpool perhaps might be something.
Well, yeah, when you're going to play a pressing game, you better get players in your team who are happy to go and press and run at high intensity and continue to run
at
high intensity. There's not particularly high up the pitch where your high pressure starts, your front three. And if you're asking me, do I see Mesut Ozil in particular next season and potentially Mkhitaryan operating off the sides, both of them starting that high press, high up the pitch, I'm not sure I can see that.
Just say, Sean in Dublin has been in touch. He said, lads, the shadow over the pitch, over the middle of the pitch of the Azteca Stadium.
Why can't we get it right?
Azteca, wasn't it? Azteca Stadium was from the public address system, which was hung by wires over the middle of the pitch.
There you are now. Fact.
There you go.
Robbie Henshaw ruled out of Leinster's Pro 14 final meeting with the Scarlets this Saturday. The centre hasn't recovered in time from a knee injury suffered in their Champions Cup final win over Racing nearly a fortnight ago. Leinster will now be doubly hopeful that captain Easton Asewa can work through his calf issue to slot into the centre. Henshaw, for his part, is included as well in that travelling party to Australia. Waterford will be without Austin Gleeson and Pádraig Mahony for this Sunday's Munster Hurling Championship meeting with Clare. Former Hurler of the Year Gleeson has been suffering with back and ankle problems, while Mahony hasn't recovered in time from a finger injury. And Carlo Ancelotti has been confirmed as the new head coach at Napoli this evening. The former Bayern Munich, AC Milan, Chelsea, Juventus and Real Madrid boss has signed a 3-year contract to take up his first Serie A job in 9 years. Maurizio Sarri left the club today after 3 years in charge at the San Paolo. The 59-year-old is in the frame for both the vacancies at Chelsea and Zenit St. Petersburg.
Yes, it's a little surprising as well, wouldn't it? Yeah,
great job for Ancelotti, I think.
That may be something as well we'll get to probably later on. We'll get to on that one there. We'll maybe have a little chat around that one as well, because it was surprising. That one certainly come out of the blue to me. I wasn't expecting him to be back on there, but it's good. Cheers to that, Rich. Anyway, myself and Kenny will be back for the football show from 9, but coming off to the break, we're heading down to Brough Rugby Club in Limerick for our roadshow. Joe is standing by alongside John Hayes, Fiona Steed, Eddie O'Sullivan, George Clancy and the live audience. That's all on the way next.
Off the ball.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.